This hour of Overdrive is powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running live from Oakdale Golf and Country Club, the RBC Canadian Open. We're back. It's been 365 days with the boys. We've returned. Everyone's all good. We got the AC appropriately slotted. That had to come up quick.
AC unit is my best friend and a lifesaver.
Yes. There was a lot of negotiating to move that AC around in the small building that we have here. It went from over there to behind you to very close to somebody on the panel.
Right.
There.
And I got nothing.
No, you got feathers.
I am excommunicated from the air conditioning in here. We're at 14 at Oakdale. It looks beautiful out
here. Dude, I feel cheated. When we played here that rough, it is so perfect out there right now. We should have got another shot at it when it's like this.
Well, I will get another shot on Wednesday. I am playing in the Pro-Am.
Are you getting a full 18?
That is the plan. We'll see. I mean, I'm a little bit concerned because the grappler is going to caddy for me. I was going to ask you to caddy, but you weren't actually going to caddy.
No.
Be like, there's a caddy that literally walks, because the celebrity Pro-Am is happening right now. There's a caddy who has a caddy for him. Someone else was carrying the caddy's bag, and another caddy
hacking
a
dart.
So it's a beautiful scene out here. But the course is in epic condition, which is exactly what you would expect. We're talking the RBC Canadian Open here. And weather's supposed to be beautiful all week. We got a great crew. Everything's all set. Everyone's coming up. It's go time.
Is this the perfect weather for golf?
Like, I think
this exact temperature?
Yes.
Or a little bit cooler, a little wind. Like, what do you need?
Like, a little bit overcast, not like sweating,
not the sun,
hot. It's like, honestly, at 8 o'clock this morning would be perfect scoring conditions.
Yes,
same as the morning we played, but we couldn't find our golf balls.
Yeah, there are probably a lot of golf balls out there that are our golf balls.
Yes,
like a lot of.
So there's a wee in there. I thought you had the round of your life.
No, I did not. Like, I played pretty well when we were out here last week. I was decent on the back. Like, I was finishing holes.
Right.
It was one of us that was finishing holes. The other guy was in the cart for basically a half an hour straight.
Yes.
But there were, I was spraying it too.
Okay.
And anyway, it's in epic condition, which is what you'd expect.
Yeah, and people, if they've never been to a PGA Tour event or any type of golf tournament, and we should give thanks for the volunteers right now, even getting our stuff set up right now, all of our people, Nicole, Grappler, everybody up here, Luca, our guy. Yeah. The amount of volunteers and people helping out around, it's crazy.
Yeah.
There's literally thousands of people out here just trying to get this place ready for the stuff outside of golf.
That's
like,
right.
There's people driving in golf carts, everyone helping out.
And we've got one guy who's already said that he's going to stand back here and make sure that...
He's going to prep for Around the Green guy. He'll be back this year.
I will find that guy.
No, I know, because you befriended him last year.
You
made it known to him that it was cool if he came to our set, so he never left.
I struck up a conversation with Around the Green guy, but he was doing that with everyone. Like, Around the Green guy last year was trying to spark conversations with literal professional golfers who were playing
at the
professionally
time.
Trying to make money.
I know.
Trying to make the cut. This guy is trying to, like, crack jokes about how the ball hit him.
I know. That was the one combo that drives you nuts. You always say to me when we're golfing, he went up to one of the tour pros and said, "Yeah, that one hit somebody," and he said, "Oh my God, did it really?" And then he goes, "No, I'm just kidding."
I thought the guy was honestly going to put him in a rear naked choke.
What?
I was waiting for him to absolutely choke him out.
So there is security, but where's the line when people get tossed from? Have you heard of egregious stories where people get tossed?
Not
like
generally,
chirping tiger or chirping like.
Yeah, that's happened before where guys have been like chased out, but that's usually fans that do it.
Right.
It becomes like a vigilante thing. Like, how dare you screw with Tiger while he's in his backswing?
There was a guy years ago who was chasing down Davis Love, and he kept yelling, "No love for you." And Davis Love finally had enough of it and told somebody, "Go get that guy and get him out." Because he kept yelling before every shot, "No love for you, Davis." Why he would, and it was a match play event, I believe, out in California, and he just couldn't stop him.
Right.
All you heard, "No love for you."
That's the Red Lobster guy, Happy Gilmore. You
it
suck.
Is. I love that.
It's though you don't see it too much in golf. Did you see the video that went viral late last week in Oakland? We keep talking about the Athletics and how big of a joke it is out there.
It is a mess.
There was a video of a fan jumping onto the dugout and then onto the field. He runs the bases and then gets off and walks away, and security doesn't say a word to him.
Really?
You got to find this
like,
grappler.
They've just given up.
That's precisely what it was. Like, their security's like, I'm not putting my life on the line for this place. This place is a joke.
Yeah, like we'll
we're
be
the worst
here.
Team in baseball. I'm not employed here long term because everyone knows you're leaving. They probably pay like garbage anyway.
But that
video
just
is
signifies
incredible.
That everyone has really packed it in.
That's it.
You can't even have security on a guy running on the field.
And that's on Major League Baseball, too, to call it in and say, we cannot have
that's
this.
Bad. It's a bad look
horrible
because
optics.
The opposing team still is a real team.
Yes.
You know, the opposing team has gone in there.
There it is. Look at us up on TSN 2. TSN 2, the guy just runs on. There isn't. No one's going to talk to him. There's people working on the course. Like, if you're listening on radio or podcast, you got to find it. Or PVR the show so you don't miss this kind of stuff. This guy is running the bases backwards, and no one does anything.
Not even paying attention.
They couldn't care less. It's just, it's a wild scene out there, how big of a dumpster fire the Athletics currently are.
Yeah, it's too bad. It is too bad because, like I say, you're the
one guy pat him on the back
yeah,
and say,
hey,
go back
pal,
to your
good
seat.
Running. Good yeah, running, man.
Good
go take a seat, all right? I think at some point a security guard comes over and goes, hey, come on. You know, like it's at a kid's birthday and the grandpa wakes up.
Yeah, knock it off.
Tells him to get out of the room.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's amateur hour. But you won't see that at Oakdale. None of that type
no,
of goofiness
is
going to happen here.
Yeah,
everything's we're right in the heart of the city, so we're going to have a lot of fun this week. And first up, we'll be up here later this week. We got Weeksy in the crew. I saw Weeksy earlier. He's around doing his thing. That's the guy you want to stick around for an RBC Canadian Open. Everyone knows Bob Weeks.
Yeah,
everyone loves Weeksy. He's got
legend.
The intel. Everyone stops to talk to him, and he'll be a legend, legendary figure around here this
his
week.
His stop and chat calendar will be full. That's what it is. He is a legend, and everybody knows him, knows of him.
Right.
Well, he's like another Bob. Bob McKenzie at an NHL event, same thing. Legend,
exactly.
Everybody has to chime in, go over and say hi. Bobby Weeks, same in a golf tournament.
Yep, that's right. So we're here. We're all set up. We're all comfortable. It's going to be a thing of beauty. We just saw Duffy come through and play. JD got off the tee on 14.
He was
that's
nervous,
a good sign.
Though. I will say this in watching from back here. Now, the grappler got up a little bit close and personal to witness it and to film it, but I think he was nervous just to get contact because he knows that would have been topic number one
absolutely.
At 4 o'clock.
If he shanked that ball, we would be talking about it for an hour and a half.
If he Tom Kite'd, like just worm burner and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, I guess he jimmied a short putt on 13. We have video of that. We'll play that many times. This afternoon, but there it is, JD. So anyway, it's great to see him. We got a lot of friends up here that are currently out there playing, and we'll see if we can get people to pop by and say hello. And we got a lot going on in the sports world. It's not going to be all about golf and Oakdale today. We got Game 2 of the Cup Final tonight, and I'm leaning Florida responding. I'm leaning a Florida response. They've done so well at that all throughout the playoffs. They haven't lost a Game 2, right? Dating back to the Boston series. They always respond. And you're getting plus money with them tonight. I think that's a pretty safe bet.
I think they'll respond. I don't know why, and I've got to separate the two, but Miami responding.
Yes.
I'm thinking the Panthers respond. Some reason, they're kind of tied.
Yep.
That Miami
kinda
Heat team, man, like regardless of even if they don't get the job done, you got to give them one thing. They got some stones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like they show up and they responded in Denver, and they came back from a large deficit to get it done.
Big time.
Like they got some stones. You got to give them props
that's
for that.
Exactly
you
what
like
they
if
are.
You ultimately lose, you don't get anything, but you got to give that team props, man. Like they got some serious gems.
They are so well run. Again, it goes all the way up to the top, Pat Riley, down to Spoelstra, who you like just is always there and always consistent. No one's trying to run him out of town because you don't waste your breath. There's no point in talking about it. Riley's not going to get rid of him. And then you got Butler, you got Bam. Obviously, Lowry's still there, but Kyle's not who he once was. And then you just got a bunch of guys who the average fan may not even know that go out there and grind, and they make shots, and they make it difficult on the opposing team. And
good
like
game
that's
last
a really
night.
gutsy win by Miami last
it
night.
It really was. So, you know, tying it back to the Panthers, Vegas, take outside the third period nonsense. It was 2-2 heading in the third. Mm-hmm. Like that was a coin flip game. And I thought Vegas was the better team. They generated more chances. Bobrovsky made some really big saves to kind of keep that score close. But Vegas kept chipping away. They generated more chances. Yep. They had better looks. That building, your buddy Bill Foley was...
Oh, he's ringside for warm-ups now.
I thought
not only have I never seen that, I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of an owner at an all-star game down by the ring.
I thought your head was going to blow off because people were sending the Overdrive account memes of him just on the bench, hype, talking to players
right.
in warm-up.
Hey, come on over here. We're only preparing for game one of the Cup Final. Sure, I'll have a little stop and chat.
Hey, when you do own a team, you can do whatever the hell you want, but I've never seen anything like it. Like, I've seen Bobby Kraft around the sidelines or something. I don't know, but not like that.
No, not during a shortened warm-up. Like, an NFL warm-up is very relaxed. It's different. It's longer. Yeah. Guys are out there hours before the game.
Yeah.
Like, hockey players, you guys know from experience, like, you have a regiment.
Yeah.
And
you get out there, 16 minutes,
you get a sweat in, and you get off the ice. You do not stop and chat with the owner. I'm going to make a proclamation right now, and I want odds on this, courtesy of FanDuel.
He does it again?
I think he might be the first owner to say, I want the cup first.
If they win, think he wants the cup.
It's not going to the captain. I'm coming out, and Gary, I want it directed to me
first. You know
first.
What?
Not
that true. Is a great problem.
I think you'll send an email.
I'm not being totally serious.
No,
not.
But don't pretend like you would be shocked by that.
I wouldn't be shocked.
You
wouldn't
be shocked.
God.
You would not be shocked if you heard there was an email sent to Gary Bettman. Just a question, just inquiring, is there a chance we do what the NFL does? And can I come out, and can I get the cup first, and then I'll hand it to the
captain. Make no mistake, if they win, he's on the ice, and it wouldn't surprise me if he, because this guy's got skin in the game, and he's reinventing whatever, they're 6 years in.
It's wild.
He's reinventing whatever they want to do there. It wouldn't surprise me. Who's the captain? It's Mark Stone. So Stone may get it and hand it to him.
I feel like it might be a handoff
if he gets it. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
I wouldn't be shocked, though. I expect the roof to eject and a helicopter to fly right in, and then
he comes down.
He gives the Heisman to Stone and
he
says,
can do whatever he wants, but he's not going that far.
He probably won
game one. He'll be on the bench and warm.
Oh, it's a ritual now.
Because if I'm an Omer, I'll be like, they won the game, so I got to do it again. But I think the Florida Panthers are in a similar situation. It's so early in the series, but when you got a powerhouse team like both Florida teams are playing, the Nuggets and the Knights, you kind of got to get that game too.
Oh, I think it's borderline mandatory you pick up a win tonight.
Yeah, because they're going to get a split in your barn most likely, and then they're just going to get that opportunity to go back and win it at home.
You got to make it a series. Like, not that you're not making it a series, but down two Cobb heading home. Like, that's a tough
sell. Start to doubt,
too,
right?
You start to think, okay, if they get one, now you're in one, right?
So exactly.
Tonight is mandatory, but it'd be interesting to see. Like, I think Florida had a lot to give. I like the pace of the game.
There was no rust on the game.
No. Like, they were going, and to me, Florida took it to them early on. They had some chances. They had some shots. But then Vegas kind of settled into their game and kind of squeezed them as the game went on and took advantage of how aggressive Florida was. Like, if they're going to lose, they're going down swinging, which I respect.
Absolutely.
Because they're not playing scared. But there are a few times where it's like, oh, we're going to give up a chance because we're going north when the puck's going south. Mm-hmm. And Montour and Ekblad, they're up in the play. But I thought it was a good game. And then it got a bit greasy. And you know the cast of characters, right? It's going to be Bennett. It's going to be Tkachuk, right?
And Hag's always in the middle of it.
And Hag and Pietrangelo on the other side. Pietrangelo, the one play, there were four Florida Panthers around him punching him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Four. Yep. We counted it. I almost wanted to slow it down, but he got a pop from Stahl, and then it was Tkachuk, and then it was Bennett, and then I think it was Gudas was in there. It was all four guys were going after Pietrangelo.
Listen, that's what the Oilers tried to do.
Exactly.
And I understand.
Pietrangelo and Stone.
I totally understand that game plan, but it hasn't worked through three rounds.
Well, it didn't work.
And it didn't work the other night. And I don't expect it to have any lingering effects tonight.
Yeah.
I don't think Pietrangelo stepping on the ice thinking, man, I better slow it down because I got punched four times.
No.
Like, that's not how he operates. And I thought there were a few things that stood out. One, that Aiden Hill paddle stop, that's the stop of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
that one goes
stop.
That goes in the Hall of Fame, like, on a poster. Like, that defines the 2023 playoffs. Just an unbelievable no-quit stop. I give him a lot of credit. I thought he was really good. Like, he was
really, like, when he needed to be.
Yeah.
Like, he stopped Reinhardt on that breakaway.
Yes.
And this save alone, like, Cousins has a wide-open net and the rebound. Now, Pietrangelo's
right there. That's a great
saves
play.
That. But it was, for me, the save of the playoffs because of the timing. It was 1-1 Florida. That's a minute into the second period. That makes it 2-1 Florida, and they already had a good first period.
Right.
So
that was a massive stop. And then I didn't love the White Cloud goal Bob, like, it's not that I didn't love it, but Bob's been stopping that for like three rounds.
Yeah.
Like, that's when he's just, against the Leafs, he goes like this.
And
Carolina goes like this.
It
goes in, and you're like, is this?
The Theodore one was like, man, that's a pretty good shot. But the White Cloud one, you're like, you got to find a way to
CNI shot that he's
that's
been
what
stopping.
It is.
He's
exactly.
been stopping
he's
all
made
those.
That save. And I thought Duclair scored a goal, but I thought Duclair on two goals.
It went
goals.
Off with skates.
Well, but you're right. But Duclair on two goals. He was the cat. He was the guy. He
right.
was guilty. Theodore goal, he shakes and bakes him at the blue line. What a beautiful play by
yes,
Theodore.
He's a
and then the White Cloud goal, if you look in the slot, it's Duclair who's literally the guy. And he lets, you either stop it or get out of the way. And Bob doesn't track it, but you're right. In other series, he finds that
That's
pop.
All. I, that's what I.
It.
That's how I was like watching that. I'm like, if that's Slavin, he stops it. If that's Riley, I know they're left-handed shots.
Yeah.
But somehow he stops that.
Makes that save.
And then this one, he didn't. And then that flip play that they've made famous, Tkachuk doesn't get it high enough. Stone, that's as close as you can get to a high stick. And then he goes
when that doesn't work, you look silly. It's a bad play. It's a giveaway when it doesn't
but
work.
But it's been working for three rounds.
When you get caught, it's non-negotiable.
Well,
can't happen.
Exactly.
And right away, I was like, that's not a high stick. Because originally, you're looking from behind. So over top behind, he's reaching. It looks like a high stick, but then the one angle is clear. It's shoulder height, and he's allowed to knock that down. It was close.
That was a great play, though. Great CNI play,
but,
and then
man,
for him to get it off and shelf it like that.
He's so good at turning pucks over.
But I think if you're a Hurricane fan, if you're a Leaf fan, if you're a Bruin fan, you're watching the White Cloud goal. You're watching the Tkachuk mistake. You're like, that just didn't happen
in those previous
years.
It
didn't happen, and then it happened in game one. That doesn't mean it will carry over and happen tonight, but, you know, Vegas is off to a good start, and again, you got to pay a little bit of juice, and what I've noticed is the Conn Smythe odds are flipping. Now, all of a sudden, Eichel's the favorite ahead of Bobrovsky, and I think you're getting some value now on Bob at plus 330, because I think if he stands on his head the rest of the way, like I said before the series started, I think if it goes 6 or 7, he's going to win anyway.
I
think he wins even if they lose in six. I think he's going to win.
That was the first time.
And I think he should if that happens.
He should. And that's the first time he allowed four goals since, like, April. That's how good he's been. But I will say that, you know, as far as bottom line is this guy, he's given them a chance. Even allowed four goals the other night, and I thought he was brilliant. Yeah. Like, I thought he made some huge saves.
Do you think Bobrovsky's that far ahead of Matthew Tkachuk?
I do. I understand the Tkachuk case. I totally get the case.
What about the overtimes in Carolina? The overtimes against the Boston
Bruins? They
wouldn't
be in overtime if it wasn't for Bob. Like, I can't argue against the point. I totally get
the clutch,
what Tkachuk has done.
My point is, I think they're neck and neck. Agree, disagree.
Completely disagree. That's what I'm telling you.
Noodles, you're a goalie. You got to admit
he's
it's pretty
close. He's going to say Bob all day, though.
But here's why I'm saying Bob is there were times where Tkachuk was really quiet, like in games, where Bob was making 50 saves.
That's it.
That was the thing. Like, Tkachuk, against the Leafs, did he score?
No.
He didn't score in that series.
Right, exactly. Then he scored the OT winner against Carolina.
I think if you pulled 10 people that covered the game, they would say it's a dead heat.
I wouldn't say dead heat.
I think he'd have 9-1. 9-1 Bob.
I wouldn't say dead heat. It might be closer than we're giving it to. Yes, I'm a goalie hugger, and you're disagreeing. But I think it's closer, do you think, because of the clutch gene. Like,
sure.
Those overtime goals and then the goal to finish the series with 4 seconds left, that's three goals. If that was Matthew scoring that and Samsonov had Bob's, it didn't matter. Here it'd be Matthews. That's what it is.
Understandably.
Because you know, because of the goal score, right?
Understandably, like, because of the moment and the stardom. And listen, he's doing a really good job of boosting his profile, right? He's getting up there on TNT. He was in People magazine, which is pretty wild. But like, Tkachuk has done a really good job of making sure that people know who Matthew Tkachuk is, and he deserves that profile.
His play has done that. Nothing else.
He's been phenomenal. But Bob, again, has been so good. And I don't drive the stats all the time, but like the saves above expected stuff is historic. And I personally think it's Bob's to lose. Unless they get swept here, and then it might be Eichel. Maybe
if he's allowing a 4 or 5 spot every night and get swept, then that changes.
He's
not going to win
the way you feel about it. So game two tonight, we'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. Alek Manoah back on the mound with Houston in town for four starting tonight. But the Jays are coming off a great weekend.
Yeah, sweep.
They swept the Mets. They got some bit. Vladdy's really coming alive. I mean, he's been good all year, but he had some really clutch hits over the weekend. And they're getting good pitching. Like, Barrios. You got to give him credit, man. Barrios, I think his ERA is down to like 3.65. 380. Like, he is legitimately giving them quality starts.
Good on the guy, because I thought that was Gonzo.
I thought so, too. And Bassett on Friday, his wife was in labor up in Toronto. The guy pitches at Jemmy.
Yeah.
What do you go, 7, I think, on Friday night? I'm watching this guy. Like, he was – him and Verlander, that was a pitching duel.
Yeah.
Springer hit a home run on the second pitch of the game, and then it was just curtains.
Yeah.
Like, the two of them were outstanding. But the Jays with a big sweep in New York and coming home against a great team in Houston. So we'll tee that up as well. Ryan Dempster will join us into the 6 p.m. hour. Owen Power is here from the Buffalo Sabres. He's going to pop in and say hello, so we'll catch up with him. We're going to have people joining us kind of in and out throughout the day. We're live at Oakdale Golf and Country Club. RBC Canadian Open, it is off and running, and we are here. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. By FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. We're live at Oakdale Golf and Country Club. Today, the celebrity pro-am. Bunch of, like, we're talking D-list celebrities like Duffy and a couple of our friends from TSN. But then you get some A-listers rolling through, right? You get some guys who went first overall, some guys who are up for the Calder. We're talking real pros.
Quality people.
Right, four professionals sitting up here. Owen Power from the Buffalo Sabres joining us around the table. How you doing, Owen?
Pretty good.
Are you considering yourself an A-lister these days?
Not even close.
Come on, man. You got to come with the heat.
No.
Not A-list. So what should we be taking from this that you're not still out there teeing it up? Are you playing well? Is everything going all right? You get a good group. What's the breakdown out here?
No, yeah, the group's awesome. I'm actually hitting the ball pretty good. Just so tough out here. The greens are so fast, and if you hit in the rough, you're dead. So.
Yeah. Well, we know that.
We know that.
We know that from experience. What's the go-to spot in Buff? Like, do you get to play there a lot? I guess not really in the winter. It's like the same being up here if you're with the Leafs or whatever.
Yeah, not my. I got out, I think, maybe twice this year, but kind of just anywhere you can get out. So, and there's a couple of nice courses, but I would like to get out more, but
sure.
It's just tough too.
Absolutely. So you obviously had a great first full year. You're up for the Calder. You know, so much hype. You go first overall. Did you set your own expectations before the year? And if so, can't imagine you didn't meet them. I mean, what do you make of your first full go around in the NHL?
Yeah, I thought it was a solid year all around. I mean, I'm not someone that kind of goes in and puts expectation. I just kind of go and try and get better every day. So, but no, it was a fun year, and thought I progressed well. And obviously, the team's going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Once the season's over, do you take a little bit of time for yourself before you get back in the gym, or what's that routine look like for you?
Yeah, I think right after the year, I took some time and just relaxed, but now I'm kind of back in the gym and skating a little more, so it's getting back into
it. Is it like skating a couple times a week already type of thing?
Or? I am, yeah, but it's just kind of on my own, just cruise around out there, just feel the puck and
skills.
Nothing too tough.
What was the biggest adjustment? I saw you out in Edmonton at the World Juniors. When you make the jump to the big leagues for a young defenseman, what did you find where you were like, wow, that's different, and I got to pay attention to that? Is it the physicality, the speed, playing in your own zone? What was the biggest type of adjustment?
Yeah, I didn't think the speed or physicality was that much different. I mean, playing against bigger men, like defending, is a little tougher, but I think the biggest thing for me was just everyone's so much smarter there. You kind of got to be thinking the whole game. Where I feel like in college, everyone's just kind of running around as fast as they can, where in the NHL, it's a little more controlled, and everyone's kind of playing more with their brains.
I find that almost easier, though, because people are in position.
Yeah.
And for dependability, especially a defenseman-right-winger relationship, you kind of know your guy's going to be there for the most part.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't want to say some parts were easier, but like you said, there's guys just in better spots where you know where they're going to be. But
see, smart player, he would have found it more difficult.
Yeah.
He's a gritty stay-at-home defenseman.
I was a gritty stay-at-home
really good stick.
Stay
really
at
good
home.
Stick.
Yes.
Was there any moment early on in your career where you're like, okay, this is real, like that's Sidney Crosby, or that's, you know, did you have one of those, like, whoa moments?
Yeah, I mean, my first game was at home in Toronto, so that was one of them where I'm playing against guys that I grew up watching and kind of looking up to. But I think also, like you said, when playing against Crosby, that was kind of my guy all growing up, and to be able to go out there and compete against him, I think it was a pretty cool moment for me.
Owen Power, the Buffalo Sabres, joining us here at Oakdale Golf and Country Club. Playing in Toronto, you're a local guy. You know, like, what's that like coming up from Buffalo? Like, it's so close. I'm sure you get family probably going both sides of the border all the time, I would assume.
No, yeah, it's, I mean, Buffalo's been a perfect spot for me. It's basically same distance from Toronto, from where I'm from, so My family's able to come up all the time and come see the game, so it's been awesome.
Sunday's off. You could go home for dinner, family dinner, couldn't you?
Yeah, no, it's. I actually came. I went home a few times, so it's easy. It's hour and 20 minutes door to door.
Perfect.
No, it's awesome.
So are you a Bills guy, or do you have to be a Bills guy now? What's that like in Buffalo?
You kind of have.
You
to
have
be,
to. So. I don't think you have a choice.
Yeah, no. I think if you weren't, fans would give you a hard time.
Yeah.
So. But oh, no, yeah. I've obviously become a Bills fan, and
man, they love their Bills in Buffalo, don't they? Like, it's such a cool sports town, like, because they love the Sabres, they love the Bills, and that's what they got. It's just go time all the time with those two teams.
Yeah. Any crossover between the teams, like with Allen kicking around the dressing room or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, actually, he's when I first got there, I was able to meet him. He was down in the locker room, but there's always guys kind of hanging around, coming to games, and they'll be down in the locker room after. So
that's cool.
It's pretty cool where we're able to kind of meet those guys and just see what they're like.
Yeah.
So any horrible shots today where people are looking over and being like, this guy's a pro athlete?
Yeah, and by the way, did it not bug you where being a pro athlete, because it used to bother me, like I would do some charity bowling events or something like that, and people were like, you're a pro athlete, man. I'm like, yeah, but not a bowler or a golfer. Yeah,
exactly.
They have this expectation that you're just supposed to be dialed in and awesome.
Yeah, no. There's definitely been a few, but I've been able to keep it somewhat solid, which hasn't been bad, but yeah.
That's all you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
Just get it off the tee.
No, exactly.
It's somewhere around the green, and then get off the course.
There's usually somebody that wants to give you lessons, though, on the, you know, like, you got to do it this way, this is what I'm seeing. And they're not a pro. They're just,
you know what the amazing thing is? Like, there would be, I'm not saying they're in your group, but I'll bet you there's people in this world that would go up to you and say, I was watching you play this year. Like, he tried to
be a little tighter in your own zone.
Yeah, like that. You weren't holding the line early
tips,
in the season.
That's
like
usually Twitter, though. That's Twitter.
That probably is social media. Are you on social media at all?
I'm on Instagram. I deleted Twitter a while ago. I just thought it was nothing but garbage on
it. It's crazy,
so.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. That stuff. You just get tagged and random people.
What were you thinking here? It's like, I don't know, man. I was playing a hockey game in the National Hockey League.
Exactly.
Well, best of luck the rest of the way. I think your group's waiting for you to get out there and hack and whack. So thanks for popping in. We appreciate it. Good seeing you, and have a great off season. We'll catch you up next year.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There he is, Owen Power of the Buffalo Sabres rolling through. All right, it's the Grapplers waving them. Not the Grapplers. Like, get the hell out of here. Grapplers waving them off.
Thanks.
Grappler just running traffic around here. But,
doing a good job, Grappler.
He is.
He's doing a great job. Great job.
All married up.
Man,
that's
is he a good player, that Owen Power, though.
Cool. 20 up for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about it. This Buffalo team, you know, they're kind of – they're coming. Detroit's coming.
Right.
Ottawa's coming. You know, the Leafs are where they are. Florida's are – Tampa, Boston.
Well, the Habs are making moves today.
Well, listen,
signing guys anyway. Cole Caulfield.
You know, kids. How old is Caulfield? 21.
21, I think. Yeah.
So you got him for 8 years at a pretty good clip for a goal scorer. You know, that's,
I think he said it best, Jamie, where it's like both sides kind of got what they wanted. Wouldn't you agree with that statement?
I think it's a smart play on both sides because Caulfield, he's not a big guy. He's had some injury problems.
Right.
Right? Like, he's a pure goal scorer. It doesn't scream playmaker. Doesn't scream, you know, up for the Selke at any point. Not that you have to be.
Right.
But the point I'm making is I think he knows he's going to be a good player and he's going to put up good numbers. I don't think he's going to be up for the heart at any point in his career, personally. And I think the Habs understand that this is a smart play. If the cap keeps going up, and he is capable of scoring 30 or plus a year.
Yeah.
This will be a bargain.
Yeah.
By year three or four, it'll be a bargain.
A smaller type player, Hayes, that I think he just came off of labrum surgery or some type of shoulder injury. And trust me from experience, I've had 5 surgeries on both of them. Once it happens once, it's tough to get out of that rhythm.
So he's
got to be saying, pay me, because I don't know what the hell could happen in the future. That's a pessimistic way to look at it. But if you want to be a smart businessman, you say, I got to sign this deal
right
now.
Well, and they're getting... Like, he's just starting. Like, they're going to get his prime.
Yeah, he's up until he's 30 years old.
Right. Think of this kid that was just sitting right here. Imagine him in 4 years when he fills out. And
we didn't ask him that, but next summer, that's what's coming.
Right.
Buffalo's going to go to the table and say, what are we thinking here? And he's going to have a lot of leverage to make a call on
But they've got a four-pack of D there. You know, Dahlin's
a
hell of a player.
Yep.
The guy...
We love him.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying, we had that conversation on our show about... The 7-year deal for the stay-at-home defenseman who had 50 games.
Right.
I think it's I'll look it up. Samuelson.
Yes.
Like it's
Rasmus Samuelson.
But it's stay-home guy, and by all accounts, it was like $4 million a year. They've got their four-pack in pretty good shape there moving forward. So Buffalo is, you know, they got to figure out their goaltending situation. I do believe moving forward that they'll be proactive in the market. But they've got some players to build around there.
Well, that's it. Like, when you look at Boston, Toronto, Tampa, and Florida, you've got to include. Because right. Florida's been an elite team even this year. They just got in. But we're seeing right. what they're
President's
doing. They're still
Trophy
one of
two,
the
yeah.
two teams still playing. Those have been the four class of the Atlantic. Where the other team, there's been a big gap, and there still was a big gap. Ottawa got better in the second half, but yeah. they were never catching anyone, not realistically catching anyone. And, you know, Detroit fell off. Montreal was terrible again this year. Buffalo was good, but not, you knew they weren't going to be good enough to finish with 95-plus points. But at least one of those teams, I think, next year makes a leap.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know which one. I don't think yeah. it'll be Montreal. I think Montreal's still playing it for
yeah,
years.
Yeah, they're still
down the
in
road.
That cycle. Yeah,
the
they're
biggest
still in
factor for Buffalo is going to be if they can get some goaltending, if that Levi can kind of be the real deal and play mm-hmm. 55 games and kind of close the door and help them get in.
But
well,
that's,
with like Thompson and Tuck, and like they got
yeah,
some players up
they got
front.
A two-headed
too. Skinner
monster
had a bounce back year.
He did. You know, they got Olofsson. Like, they have some, you know, some second tier guys. And I talked about that four pack on the back end. If you can get a veteran goaltender, a guy that can give you, if Levi stumbles, because he's a kid, you know, he's going to have to learn on the job. If he stumbles a little bit, if you have a veteran guy that can play 40 to 50, kind of like the Campbell situation in Edmonton where, yeah, they overspent for him, but mm-hmm. they've got four more years of Jack Campbell. And if Stuart Skinner takes a step back, if the playoffs hurt him last year, Campbell's going to have to step up. Same thing. They need that type of player, but a guy to play better in Buffalo
yep.
to help Levi along.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, that's the playbook, right?
Yes.
It's what needs to happen. But
in both teams that you mentioned, the exact same thing needs to happen. Ottawa, too. You mentioned one of them could yep. make a push for the playoffs.
Yep.
Whoever gets the best goaltending out of the two of those teams is going to have the best chance
that's
of doing it.
That's probably what will eventually change it for them,
yeah.
is they'll get a goaltender, whether they have them now or it's a tandem or whatever it happens to be when it shakes out.
Right.
They will get above-average goaltending, and that will get them in. And I don't think they just take off with 110 or 112 points.
No,
but it's probably 95.
Step ladder, yep.
Last weekend of the year, they win a big game and they get in, and then all of a sudden you realize, all right, now they're building in the right direction. So
yeah.
that's what's coming for the Leafs. The
well,
teams are going to be chasing, and you know Boston might have to recalibrate in a way. Tampa's a year older, so there's going to be question marks.
Well, and you know, Tree's got his work cut out
yes,
for him
he
here.
Does.
Got to figure out what they're going to do. They've got decisions to make, and. But you also have, outside of Matthews Nylander, you got a whack of UFAs. You got to figure out who you're coming back with, and you got to figure out who you're parting with and
yep.
signing new players, maybe a different look on that team.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
We should maybe put up a board tomorrow or something, Grappler, what they're, like what that roster on paper, what everyone's situation is like, UFA, RFA. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, there's going to be turnover with the
Big
Leafs.
Time.
There absolutely will be turnover. And there's guys who are on term that very well could get traded, likely will.
Yeah.
And we're not talking core four. So much focus on them. If that doesn't change, that doesn't mean another player who has term doesn't possibly end up going on the table.
Right.
You know, or getting flipped for whatever other piece might be coming in.
Yeah.
And these are the things we know Trey Living will be working on right now. And, you know, Dubas, it's funny, a lot of details are starting to leak out of, you know, maybe what he signed, how much term he got, and it's starting to make a little bit more sense what happened that week
yeah.
and why he countered the way he countered. I'd like to know if people are still mourning him in Toronto, knowing that it was possibly a power play by Kyle,
yeah,
and which he's entitled to. But if he knew...
No one would risk being unemployed for that kind of play unless
right.
it's in your back pocket.
Yes.
Well, yeah, at least the framework of, like, I can go to a different organization, have an expanded role.
Right.
That's really what
and
it is.
That and kind of money and that kind of term,
right,
if the numbers are right, that it's, you know, 6 or 7 years at $40 million, give or take. I mean, that's
right.
the kind of number that's being thrown out.
Right.
That's a pretty – and listen, credit to him. He's entitled – if you can get it, go
yeah,
for it.
Go
take
ahead.
It, and Kyle's going to move on. But that it changes the complexion of the whole week that
well,
Kyle was mistreated
just,
or something like that. It's
it just like the other thing I think that leaves a question mark is the that Monday press conference I think bothers people. Just what some of the things he said. I'm sure he's genuine, but you're now that he's moved on 2 weeks later, people start to question was he you know, was it the family, was it mm-hmm. was he tired, was it you know, all of that, as opposed to Is it a power play? Did he know he had?
I just consider it sports. There's You're all right. kinds
it's a
of
business.
Different opportunities.
He's allowed
but that's
to do
the way
that.
It's always
I know.
Been.
But players can do it to teams. Teams can do it to players. Your loyalties are sometimes where the money's at, and sometimes things are a lot different. You're going to trade a player that's been great for your organization. The Florida Panthers are a great example with Jonathan Huberdeau. We love you. We drafted you first overall. We'll give you a bunch of money, this and that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, we got another guy better. Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's just like that's no, that is loyalty
it happens
in sports.
Through players. It can happen in management.
That's why Vegas is in the Cup Final. They've been doing that since they got in the league.
That's right. They're like,
Don't like it, you're out.
Pacioretty,
don't like it, you're out.
Jerry Gallant, coach of the year. No,
see you
you're
later.
Gone. DeBoer, yeah. Gone. Like, now, coach here. Cassidy that's, available? Didn't see that coming. You're in.
Yeah, and if anybody thinks that they can just start ripping things off their organization, whether it be staff or players, and think that putting Band-Aids on everything is going to get you into the final, you're nuts.
No.
It worked out.
No, exactly. Again, I that's why you have representation. That's why you play the field. That's you go where you want to go. And Kyle made that decision. I don't hold anything against him.
No.
I never for a second believed that it was some big jam job. And, you know, people within the organization couldn't go to work anymore because Kyle wasn't there. I'm sure people must have known what was going on. And, again, Kyle, by all accounts, you know, good guy, good person to work for. He walked in there, he fired people immediately.
Yeah.
Because that's the job.
Yeah.
Which do you think they're mourning? Probably, because they're literally out of a job. He walked in there and just said, "You're out." And
yeah.
You're Hextall's people, you got to go.
Yeah.
Okay. That's sports.
We're probably
I mean, it sucks.
See
it's callous, but that's the way it goes.
There's
turnover, and it happens all the time.
We'll probably see a trickle down with Brad Treliving once he gets to know the organization.
He's going to bring his own
people. Yep. I'm going to put my person in that role, my person in that role. There will be bloodshed here, not
yes.
just Dubas leaving and Treliving coming in. He's going to identify who he wants in the organization. I mean, didn't he inherit how many AGMs did they have? Four?
There's a number of them for sure.
Right. And so is he probably wants one of his own. So where's some? You going to have five or you're going to eliminate somebody?
Yeah, no, that's sports, man. It turns quick. Look at the guy in the mound tonight downtown. Like Alek Manoah was the king of this city.
Whew.
You know, 3 months
Big
ago,
time.
Gets
yeah.
the ball opening day, you know, got the ball game one of the wild card against Seattle.
Now he's in a position where the grappler told us before the show he'd be shocked if he went more than three innings.
Right.
That's where he's at.
And
exactly.
He said he would have skipped a start, and everyone else, all the analysts have been telling us he might be in the minors.
And that's reasonable takes.
Well, why you know, do you keep wheeling him out there? What do you think's going to change?
I think they feel like they don't have a better option. I've been saying it for a couple of starts. I think that's it. I'm waiting for the levy to break. I don't want it to be the case. I'd
this
love
is
to
the last. I'm telling you, this is the last one.
No, it's
after
not.
The it is.
This is start
before
13.
Something happens. Either skip a start or some time somewhere else.
Yeah,
because
I
the reaction with Schneider and on the bench, there's nowhere to go but there.
I agree. I thought his body language after getting pulled 5 days ago was not a good look. You know, it showed he was vulnerable. It showed that he realized mentally he's not in a great place on the mound. He doesn't have his A stuff. And, you know, their bullpen's kind of on some flames, you
yeah.
know, on fumes, I should say. I don't know if Romano will be available tonight, if Swanson will be available, if Pearson will be available. So if he does go short, you know, this will be a bullpen game against a great team in Houston. It's going to be a tough outing for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, we'll see. Ryan Dempster will join us in about an hour to tee up that series with Houston in town. Mike Johnson coming up in about 20. A familiar name is returning to the coaching carousel in the NHL. We'll get into that. We're live at the RBC Canadian Open at Oakdale all week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Mike Johnson coming up in about 20 minutes. And we'll get into these Mike Babcock reports with Johnny, get his take on Mike Babcock getting every cent from the Leafs before he takes the job on July 1st, likely in Columbus, which I love. So we'll talk to Johnny about that game two of the Cup Final tonight. And obviously the signing of Cole Caulfield in Montreal, what kind of ripple effect that could have on other players around the league. It's you know, we're two games into the NBA Finals, yet we're already into off-season mode with rumors and reports. This Kyrie LeBron report
is insane.
It's so NBA.
That'll be a mess, though.
Well, okay, a couple things to break down. For starters, there's a report out there, courtesy of Woj and Shams Charania, who get everything in the NBA.
Right.
That Kyrie Irving has reached out to LeBron about coming to Dallas.
Right.
That was never be a possibility.
Never.
No.
Ever in a million years. And there's so many different things to break down here. But How do these guys, these insiders, both get the report at the same time that Kyrie and LeBron are speaking? Like, only in the NBA does this happen, where a superstar and another superstar have a chat, private, I would assume, and somehow it's like, we better call Woj and let him know we had a chat about this.
I think that's LeBron, though.
I think it probably, a lot of people are pointing to Kyrie.
No.
I think it's probably LeBron.
It's LeBron.
I think it's probably LeBron.
Why would he want that information leaked?
Because I think he wants people in L.A. to think that he's still got other options. I think he wants the league talking about him.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a chance he was unhappy that the Lakers didn't get Kyrie at the trade deadline. But he's under contract there. He's not getting flipped to Dallas. The amazing thing about this is that that is Luka's team.
Right.
And he's not included. The idea that Kyrie Irving is making a power play without Luka Doncic is so Kyrie and so the NBA. When Kyrie's a free agent, too.
Yeah.
Like, it just – but the – like, a private chat between two players somehow has to get out.
That to me,
full-blown report.
But I don't think Dallas is not even in the equation. It's about Kyrie somehow going to L.A.
There is no chance LeBron James is playing in Dallas.
No.
Right. None.
But do you think Kyrie could end up playing for the Lakers?
I think it's a possibility.
All right.
But then why start here with the leak that you're trying to get? Is it a power play of Kyrie trying to one-up to say, I'm in the driver's seat and I'm recruiting you? Which is absurd.
LeBron has a media team. You have to think that they are smart. There's somebody's little whisper, little leaning in, going, hey, this is what I... Like, they do that strategically.
Yes.
Because you're right, LeBron is constantly in the news. Weighs in on things. He hasn't played in a while, but it doesn't matter. We're talking about it.
Absolutely.
Even though there's been two games in the NBA
Isn't
final.
Isn't it a simple power play where it's pretty simple to figure out, much like we figured out the Kyle stuff and the ass because he had something on the table? Isn't it very simple where LeBron wants it leaked, and then the Lakers ownership and management go to him and say, oh, we don't want you to go there. Do you want him to, like, do you know what I mean?
It's
just so simple and stupid.
Some sort of initiative.
Strategic.
The fact that it got to both insiders, and within seconds they both tweet out reports. Like, it's such a manufactured game. I find it very entertaining. I think it's exclusively NBA material.
I know, but you can tell the underlying idea was there was a direct text from LeBron to both of them at the same time saying, can you guys fire this out?
This is what I need. I'm not going to tell you what my larger plan is here, but there's something that has been mocked up that makes sense. What I'd love to know is Mike Malone in Denver, who hates that the Lakers take up all the oxygen. Is he happy today because they're coming off a loss?
Maybe.
Like, I wonder if Mike Malone, who's all bent out of shape that the Denver Nuggets don't get enough attention, coming off a loss, is he happy that LeBron's putting up a shield?
I don't know.
I mean, think he probably would be
think
today.
So? I mean, that finals, like...
It was a good game, close game.
It was
game.
A good game, and they'll be fine, but, like, I think Denver's the better team.
Yes, I think Denver still is in the driver's seat and probably wins that series, but... Mike Malone hates when LeBron takes up the front page when his Nuggets are supposed to be on it.
Everything with LeBron, and rightfully so, is very noisy.
Mm-hmm.
But even when he's not playing, it's noisy.
Of course.
Like, it's just...
Like, we've had, in a week and a half since he stopped playing, a retirement report and a Kyrie wants him in Dallas report.
So,
dude, as much as the guy's done in his whole career, he still loves a little chat about himself.
Who is the noisiest athlete in all of pro sports right now? LeBron? Rodgers? Because Rodgers is everywhere right now, New York, showing up everywhere.
Yep.
Tom Brady's still noisy.
Tom is. He's trying to tell everyone he doesn't want to be noisy, but he still is.
Yeah, not play. Also, I thought I read he was on a boat with Leo the other day.
Oh, of course.
DiCaprio,
he was. They're both single. Wouldn't you be on that boat? If I was, I'd probably be calling in favors. Hey, Leo, you got a spot for me?
Yeah,
I'm flying
exactly.
in.
I don't know. There are some noisy super athletes out there that you can't go 2 weeks without a cycle.
Yeah.
That's
really
why I've had an appreciation for Sidney Crosby, man. That guy, you don't know where that guy is.
He could be playing at Oakdale right now. We would know.
No. You never see or hear that guy until the puck drops in October.
Nothing. I don't think he's on social media in any capacity.
I think he's got a creeper Twitter account. A phantom.
A dummy account?
Yeah.
He might have that.
I know some guys who play in the league that do, but it's more because they use it for news. They track certain people, certain insiders, all of that. Like, I'll get a message from a buddy who's in the league and go, Why are they saying this? Why they, like, where'd you get that? Oh, it's on Twitter. Well,
right.
You're not on Twitter.
Yeah. Well,
yes,
they're on Twitter.
They are.
It's just anonymous, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. I'm guessing this is just the tip of the iceberg for LeBron's offseason.
Oh, yeah.
There will be more and more and more. And, listen, he's right, though. Like, we'll miss him when he's gone. From a content standpoint, man, this guy has created more content than anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
Possibly in the history of pro sports, yeah. Or at least modern sports.
And when you look at the trickle-down effect, when you're not talking about him, Tiger Woods is an example on the PGA Tour. When he's not playing on Sundays or in any tournament, they're putting a guy that's a club pro out on, like, he's stealing
it's
the
different.
Show.
It's
yeah.
different.
Show.
It's different. It's different, absolutely. All right, hour two coming up. Mike Johnson will join us, our TSN hockey analyst. We're live at the RBC Canadian Open out at Oakdale all week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score.